This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm sorry, I just get the biggest goosebumps. The Foxborough frenzy I go into every time I hear Gil Santos and Gino Capoletti's voices with a great Patriots highlight from the Ted Johnson era, as we like to refer to it around here on WEEI Afternoons. Did you ever have any interaction with them?
Love those guys. I played golf with Gino quite a bit.
I heard he was like such a gentleman, cool, and also might have been the best smelling human of all time.
He was an old school kind of gentleman, right. The way he would interact with you. I always kind of appreciate a guy that dresses nice. And
he
takes care of himself. You always wanted to present well.
Sartorially presented.
Sharp guy. Yeah. So Gil was great, too. I didn't have as much FaceTime with him as much as I did with Gino, because I played more golf with Gino. But two outstanding human beings, man. The great guys.
Yep. And they got to preside over so many incredible developmental years, almost years, and then ultimately winning years. Winning years that have seen so many legends of recent Foxborough success make their way into the hall at Patriot Place. And a lot of other teams are still trying to figure out if they have enough people to warrant their own personal team Hall of Fame. The New England Patriots now have the ultimate first world football problem, Ted Johnson. They have too many guys whose resumes, accomplishments, and achievements dictate that they should be members of this team's Hall of Fame. Bill Parcells is getting in this year as a special contributor. Finally, again, I know this is a polarizing topic for a lot of people. I thoroughly believe Bill Parcells belongs in there, and I'm glad he's going to get to go in there,
no doubt,
and be acknowledged for helping begin the process of turning things around and raising the Patriots out of the darkness to ultimately what became the dynasty, Ted. So that was a brilliant move by the organization, and I'm glad to have heard that from Robert Kraft. And then this year, your three nominees is voted on by the fans. The finalists, Logan Mankins, but guard, and also played some tackle and played tackle on a ACL, which is even more impressive. Julian Edelman, who his dad once described to me as, "Hey, Fitz, listen, Wes Welker was a great receiver, but Jules is a great football player." Wes Welker, great receiver.
I don't know about
Julian
that.
Julian Edelman, football player.
Okay, I'm not sure I agree with that.
Okay,
but okay.
We'll get into that one in a second.
And of course, I'd like to hear his rationale for that one.
Well, it was coming from an objective source, right?
Wow.
Yeah. I actually got a call on a Saturday, because I talked about Welker being a better receiver than Edelman during the week. Someone said something to someone who said something to someone, and my phone rang on a Saturday. I was at my little Cape Cod shack, and I picked it up. I was like, "Hello? Fitz, Frank Edelman here." I was like,
"Wow.
Hey, Frank."
That is weird,
please,
man.
Don't hurt me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had a chance to socialize with them on a few occasions, okay, doing some of the work for the Patriots that I've done, Ted. And
Welker's numbers are insane. So
Wes, I mean, he's the slot machine. He's the original, like, he made the position what it is, kind of changing not only just the way the Patriots called plays, but the way a lot of offense was played in the NFL. But
Doesn't really surprise me. I mean, Julian, I could see that coming from his dad. If you know Julian a little bit, yeah.
And if you watch, what was the name of the documentary about him?
100% overcoming an ACL tear.
Yeah,
like something no one's ever done.
100% AC, 100% Edelman, or Edelman unfiltered, Edelman unplugged. You know the stories.
Yeah, coming back from an ACL tear. It's no one ever does that.
Speaking of which. Did you see the video of Steph Diggs running like his hair was on fire 5.5 months after getting his ACL repaired?
I did not.
Video on his Instagram yesterday.
Did he make cuts or was he just running a straight line?
Hard.
Okay.
Hard cuts.
If he's making cuts, that's hard, more encouraging.
Running 10 yards up, in cut left, then out, then cutting out to the right and catching passes. Like, you would never guess there was an injury, let alone the anterior cruciate
ligament.
That's
good news. That's really
good
news.
Torn in half. Yeah, like he looks tremendous. And then, of course, the other finalist, Adam Vinatieri, who I think most of us were, I'll speak for myself. I forget exactly where I was when the NFL honors were being broadcast and they announced all of the members of this year's class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Ted. I was stunned when Vinatieri did not get in as a first ballot member.
BS.
What other special teams contributor, let alone kicker, deserves to be in there? What other player made more significant contributions to the NFL over the last 20 years in the clutch? Like, you heard Tommy Kern just waxing poetic about him. Played 22 years. And as
he
you
played
said,
24 years.
24 years, excuse me. My God, I can't believe I undersold him by 2 years. A career with the Colts and the Patriots, each of which was Hall of Fame worthy. Won a Super Bowl with both teams. I mean, it's got to be Vinatieri for the red jacket this year. He gets mine.
Well, it's a fan vote, right? It comes down to a fan vote. So I'm sure that most fans around here, I could be wrong, but I'm guessing that he gets in. I think he didn't get into the NFL Hall of Fame this year. He'll get in next year. I can't imagine him not. But 29 game winning kicks Adam had, obviously hugely memorable ones for this franchise. Super Bowl 36 game winner, Super Bowl 38. Theoretically, a game winner. With all due respect to Julian Edelman's dad, now that's a football player. That's not, you know, it happens to be a kicker. That being Adam Vinatieri. The guy played quarterback and linebacker in high school as well as a kicker. He's got a football mentality, and that's why we all loved him. I mean, he was just mentally tough as nails. That was the guy that you wanted out there. And when the game was on the line, because he just never got rattled by the moment. And his kicks were so memorable, obviously. And there's so much on the line on so many of those kicks that he put through the uprights. So it's not even, to me, a question who deserves to get in this year. To me, it should be Adam Vinatieri. And I think it should be Adam Vinatieri when you consider the other person going in, that being Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells believed in Adam Vinatieri in 1996. He was playing for the Admirals, the European League, Amsterdam Admirals, I believe. And after that season ended, he basically came to training camp with us, and it was a competition between him and Matt Barr, who Parcells loved Matt Barr, but he went with the rookie in Adam Vinatieri, and it paid off, and so. It's no question to me that it should be, at least this year, Adam Vinatieri should go in.
Oh, he deserved to be in Canton. He will be in Canton.
He will be.
Soon, I hope they write that wrong next February as well. But as far as going into the Hall of Fame, the Patriots Hall of Fame, to go up against somebody like Julian Edelman, who won 3 Super Bowls, played every position they asked him to, worked his way up from reserve punt returner, surpassing Wes Welker, ultimately becoming the slot machine on this team, being a punt returner, playing safety when they needed him to in 2011 when the secondary was absolutely decimated and Sterling Moore was your best cornerback. These are the things that football guys do. He also was a Super Bowl MVP as well. So, and the catch in Super Bowl 51, truly, I think, the best catch ever made. I think the most clutch catch, biggest catch on a big stage. And yes, obviously I'm biased, so anyone who wants to say Tyree, you can just tuck those words right back in your word hole because I don't want to hear them. Logan Mankins not only deserves to be in a Patriots Hall of Fame, tremendous football player, as good as you could play the position, and that's a position that somebody like the greatest guard of all time, John Hanna, locked down, and he He played in that same spot, walked those very same footprints, Ted, and did a damn good job drawing some awesome comparisons. I would say Mankins up there with Welker and Moss, sadly, some of the greatest Patriots to ever play for the team and not win a Super Bowl
in the contemporary
era as well.
When was he drafted? He was drafted in 2005, so I retired in 2005, so I didn't get a chance to play with him.
Never crossed paths, right?
No, but I mean, when you look at his resume, I mean, my gosh, I mean, I always just go to all pros. Please give me a break with the Pro Bowls. It doesn't matter. Five times he was second team all pro. One time he was a first team all pro. So that's six times on the all pro list, which is, you know, insane. So it's a Hall of Fame career, let alone a Patriots Hall of Fame career. So it's a matter of time before he gets in. So all three candidates are getting in, but I think it would be appropriate to put Adam in. Hopefully the fans see it the same way when you consider Bill Parcells is also going in. I just think there's symmetry there and synergy there that it would make it appropriate for him to go in. But if he doesn't go in this year, it'll be you know, soon. So all three candidates, all worthy, all will go in. Yeah, you feel bad for that. Was it 2012? When was Logan Mankins being traded to?
He was traded in 2014 for.
2014.
Remember, the tight end, not Tim
to Tampa
Brown.
Bay, right?
Yeah, Tim.
Who's the head coach? His buddy from Rutgers was at the Tampa Bay.
Schiano.
Yeah, and so that's they did a deal with him, but and I believe Mankins.
Wright. That's who they traded.
Tim Wright, right?
Who has a Super Bowl ring and Logan Mankins doesn't? That doesn't seem right.
So. And the reason was they couldn't come to an agreement on the contract, correct?
Yeah, so he argued with the Krafts and Bill Belichick and called them liars, I think, even believing and was willing to hold out, and then ultimately got paid what he wanted or what he believed he was worth.
But in Tampa Bay?
No, at first in New England as well.
Did he hold out like the first 10 games of that season that he held out?
I believe he did. I think in 2010, yeah, he only played 9 games.
Okay, so he played 2 more years after that contract dispute.
Yep, he played in 3 more years in New England, 11, 12, and 13, then was traded. Might have wanted a new deal. Also, he may be one of the first cases or one of the most prime examples, if you will, of Belichick trying to play the get out a year early as opposed to a year late game. You know, traded Richard Seymour in 2009 when he thought he could get more value, gets a first-round pick for him. Obviously, Big Say still had a couple of really good years left in him as well. Did the same with Mankins, sending him down to Tampa. I remember talking to him at one of the Patriots draft parties, and I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, before Tom did it, you're like the first guy that found out what it's like to play in Tampa as a Patriot. And how was it? And he's like, oh, it sucked. He was still so bummed. He said that trade was heartbreaking.
They didn't win down there.
No, they lost a ton.
We're not used to winning. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard to go someplace that has a losing culture like that.
And the Pats won a Super Bowl that next year.
Yeah.
That had to have stung.
That hurts. But I believe I've heard Dante Scarnecchia, the great offensive line coach, say that I think he's basically said that Logan Mankins was the most talented player he's ever coached on the line.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot. And so
sure, that's high praise, baby.
Those words carry a lot of weight for me. So we're not debating whether these guys should be in. It's just the pecking order. All three are very deserving. All three will go in. But you know, for me, it's Adam Vinatieri, 24 years. Good gosh. How about that 401k damn ball, huh? Jeez, my gosh, that's going to be a nice check that he's going to get. But
that's a pretty nice pension he's going to be cashing.
Love is that I played with a kicker that I think was wired differently than most kickers. I do. I just think Adam was truly a football player that just happened to be a kicker. He was that tough, that strong-willed.
That's what Parcells said about him, right?
Mentally just, you know, has what it takes to just play any position. You know, just God gave him the body to be a kicker and not a middle linebacker, but he has the mentality of a middle linebacker, which I absolutely love about the guy.
All right, so we'll go around the room and then we'll trend. So I know Andy voted for Vinatieri to go in of the three. You go Vinatieri.
Oh, yeah.
I go Vinatieri. Stiz?
I love Vinatieri and I get it, but I'm an Edelman guy, so I'm going to go Edelman.
All right, and I'm sure I'll be getting a phone call from Frank any minute now. And Dan?
It's completely a fan vote. 100% a fan vote, or is there
at this point? Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Then I think I would go Edelman as well. As much as
he's gonna get in. Yeah, it'll be his time. Vinatieri, guys.
But what do you think the fans will vote?
Kick in 2000. Ted was there. He can tell you how cold it was. Patton and Wiggy making catches, and J.R. Redmond, Brady spiking the ball and falling down the tuck roll.
Yeah, but who do you think the fans will vote for?
Is it recency bias? It's a hell of a thing.
They're going to appreciate. They're probably mad Vinatieri didn't get into Canton. They're going to elect him and thank him for what he did. Now that he's been far enough removed from those ugly Colt blue uniforms. And they're going to put Vinatieri in.
I think they put Vinatieri
as a big thank you for everything that. The kick against the Titans in January 2004. It was zero. Like real field was like -20, and he hit a 41-yarder.
Go on and on. We go on and on.
I know. We'll be here all day. We'll get yelled at by Kent. He'll come through the door for a different reason. 617-779-7937 to weigh in on the text line or give us a shout. Who would you like to see in the Patriots Hall of Fame? Do you believe Adam Vinatieri gets in first, or are you Bubs? Or Mankins. One thing I know is if you add the Mankins mustache to the heart of Edelman with the clutch of Vinatieri, you get trending sports news.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Ball. Well, if you loved him so much, then why didn't you take him in 2018, Bill? That's Bill Belichick on a Manning cast there,
Ted. Because he had a good one already on his team, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But you know what he could have done?
What's that?
Found a way to stash and let him dash.
Okay.
You could have held on to Lamar Jackson. You could have used him as an OW that season, maybe whipped up some packages and plays for him. And then eventually, if you thought you groomed him under Tom Brady, with Josh McDaniels, one of my favorite words to use, tutelage, then perhaps in a couple years' time, you could have made him an even better quarterback than he has become to date. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here, filling in for Andy Hart, who is off today on personal matters, alongside three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson here on WEEI Afternoons. Before we get into all this real quick, I just want to clean up the phones. We had a couple calls come in about the Patriots Hall of Fame, Ted. We'll get into this Bill Belichick book and what he said about Lamar Jackson and or didn't say about Mr. Kraft in a second. Kelly from Amherst, you want to weigh in on the Patriots Hall of Fame? Go ahead, my guy. Perfect.
All right.
Just what I thought, too. Nailed it. God, we're the best. I mean, we're really like we're years
it,
from now.
When sorry, my fat finger hit the wrong button.
Honest to God. Somebody was like, I would like to talk to you. Hello? And you
call back, Kelly.
Hang up on him. Not the first time, won't be the last.
What do you think about that? The Bills regretting, he's admitting in the book that he regrets or okay, that, well. He, that he didn't take Lamar Jackson at 32 overall.
You know what's real easy to
out
do,
out of Louisville?
Yeah, you know what's real easy to do is when you take Sony Michel 31st and he retires just around the same time that Lamar wins his second MVP, it's real easy to build a house in Regretsylvania. Yeah, that's I think this is – Does he say in the book that he wanted to and someone prevented him from doing it?
I don't know the details of that. It's just it's just out there that that is a one mistake that he feels like he made in his he doesn't in the mistake chapter of his book.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of not playing Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. One of his mistakes that he feels like that he owns up to is not drafting Lamar Jackson in the 2018. You know, draft, and you just wonder if he would have drafted Lamar in 2018, would that have been a quarterback's competition? I mean, because, you know, he drafted Jimmy G in 2014.
That's right. That
with
was
an
the
eye towards getting rid of Tom. And so you wonder in 2018, if he drafts Lamar Jackson, if maybe that would have muddied the waters. Maybe they don't win the Super Bowl in 2018. If Lamar Jackson is drafted that year.
Or they could have been more offensively dynamic, possibly having him come in for some gadget plays, tricks, et cetera. Yes, Dan Ball.
I'm shopping for this right now online, just to make sure I have it right. I typed in revisionist history by Bill Belichick, and I'm not finding it.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's strange. I could have sworn that was the title based on the conversation you guys are having.
No, I think the book is called The Art of Winning.
Ah, same difference.
And The Art of Winning is omitting parts of history where you may have made the wrong choice. Obviously, he's the GOAT coach. Some of us have certain feelings about him. That's okay. Oh, Kelly from Amherst is back. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, my man. I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. The phone exploded. I tried my best, but I called back. Listen, it could be recency bias. I'm going to go Edelman as well. I hate to say anybody over Vinatieri. Obviously, Vinatieri was so incredibly clutch. But when I think about those teams, those first three Super Bowls, what comes to mind, number one, is that defense. That defense was so stacked, possibly the greatest defense in NFL history. Over that stretch, you could pick out another team and say, oh, that year they had a great one. But for those, you know, 4 or 5 years, led obviously by the great linebacking core. That defense was so strong that I look at that as a great team win, you know, a couple of team wins in the
yes,
beginning.
Sir.
But I think later on, obviously the final Super Bowl was also very defense heavy, but I think that Edelman was a huge part. He was the guy that you could count on third down. And I think that those later Super Bowl teams were a lot more about the offense, Tom Brady flinging it around. So I give it to Edelman over Vinatieri. Sorry, Vinatieri.
I appreciate that call, Kelly. Thank you very much. Yeah. And since I know Kelly is a diehard Celtics fan, good luck to the Green when they begin their pursuit of Banner 19 next week. Ted, real quick, on the text line as well, 508, I voted for Vinatieri. He deserves it. The clutch kicks helped start the dynasty. Edelman came on later. He was terrific. The younger folks are probably going to vote for the flash of Edelman. And yes, by the way, I used to sit on metal bleachers at Schaefer/Sullivan Stadium.
Yep.
Good on you. That's the right choice, 508.
That's interesting that texter points that out because that's you talk about recency bias. What Fitzy said, you would vote for Edelman. So, right? Is that what you
I'm
said?
I'm voting for Vinatieri.
I mean, not Fitzy, but Stiz.
Yeah.
So younger. Mm-hmm. Recency bias.
He's
younger
spoiled. He
fans.
Only knows Super Bowls.
So, he doesn't know Vinatieri and the impact that Vinatieri had. So I put more weight in those earlier championships, setting the table for those later championships. So I'm going to give a little bit more of a credit to guys that were playing in that era.
Deservedly so. Edelman will get in. There's no denying that, you know, Brady's bestie one of the pygmies, the clutch football player that he was. You know, he, you know, people are quick to always point out too, Ted, and this drives me nuts because it's like you forget just how freaking good Wes Welker was. Ah, when Welker needed to make the catch in 46, he missed, but Edelman made his in 51, and those are Foxborough facts only. I get it. A little bit of a tougher catch for Welker. I'm sure he'd probably tell you I should have held on to the ball as well. But you can't just dismiss the man's accomplishments and significance over a play.
I mean, he's got 3,000 more receiving yards than Edelman does in his career. Does
he
that count for
about 125 catches
so
a year.
That should count for something, you know? So that's my take on it.
And 401 texter, back to the topic at hand, Bill Belichick's new book, The Art of Winning, and the omission was of Robert Kraft's name. The admission from him is that he should have drafted Lamar Jackson in 2018. It's very easy to say, yeah, I should have drafted the guy who's maybe the best running quarterback of all time. And a two-time MVP, 401, says, you know what would have happened? Tom would have pushed Lamar out of town just like he did Jimmy G.
Ooh, got him.
There you go. Now, I think we can all agree, this is something I've heard Phil Perry and Tom Curran talk about at length as well, that drafting Jimmy G was actually a brilliant move by Bill Belichick, because whether he actually thought it was time for the succession plan or not, Jimmy G arriving with his handsomeness, with the aura, with his quick release, strong arm, gung-ho attitude, and obviously he looked great for the game and a half that he played until Kiko Alonso.
I loved him coming out of college.
See, I knew nothing about it. I know he went to Tony Romo University and had a similar quick release.
He had a very quick release.
He was so good in that first game and a half against Arizona and then against Miami until, like I said, Kiko Alonso folded him like a card table. I think people around here were thinking like, oh, my God, are we going to have a quarterback controversy when Tom comes back? Then Tom comes back to have his greatest statistical season ever.
In Tom's 14th year in the NFL, you can see how that might light a fire under your ass a little
great.
Bit. So, look, I mean, it was at the end of the day a smart move. I mean, what wasn't smart is Bill. I was doing radio down in Houston, and I found that story to be fascinating. Like, wait a minute, the season you go into the last season of Jimmy G's contract, and you still haven't traded him. The season started. What are you doing? Like, I couldn't believe he held on to him to the very last minute and still got a second round draft pick from San Francisco. I just thought, man, I have all the stuff that, you know, Tom's done, and that's how you're kind of treating that. And really, I mean, the franchise, you could have gotten maybe multiple firsts for Jimmy G before the season started. But
if they dealt him at the end of 2016 with the way that he played in those couple games?
Perhaps. You never
easily
know.
Easily a first.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is I looked at the 2018 draft in which Lamar was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Number one overall, Baker Mayfield, who was supposedly the Patriots had interest, at least Josh McDaniels had interest in him. And what I find interesting about Bill talking about regretting not drafting Lamar Jackson is stylistically how different he was than the quarterback that he coached for so long. Like, they couldn't be more different. And it's funny, but then you think about what type of quarterbacks had given Bill Belichick the most difficulties in the past.
Running.
The mobile quarterback. So maybe it's not so strange that he would be interested in a quarterback that has mobility like Lamar does, when you consider how many times the mobile quarterback gave trouble to his defenses.
So for those at home that aren't as familiar with the 2018 NFL draft class, as I open it up at Pro Football Reference or any website that recounts drafts, before I even get into, hey, where did Lamar Jackson get drafted and who did the Patriots pick and where? We all remember they picked Isaiah Wynn in the 20s, and then they took Sony Michel at 31st, literally
the pick
before Lamar.
Do they win the Super Bowl without Sony Michel?
Yes, because I think offensive line was so good and opened up so many holes, and James Devlin was doing such plow work that I think they probably could. I mean, yes, he did have a great postseason.
I would agree with you.
Had 6 touchdowns, but could they have won without him? Yes.
It was maybe some of the best offensive line blocking I think I've ever seen, Fitzy.
Offensive line, Ted, where all 5 starters didn't miss a game.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir.
I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. But if you watch the tape on that offensive line, it was like Tom had the perfect cupped pocket And then when Sony was running, he didn't get touched until 5 yards downfield.
No.
It was the most harmonious, most dominating, most perfectly executed offensive line play I'd ever seen the Patriots have. It was that 2018 season. So I agree with you.
Yep.
They would have won the Super Bowl with you playing running back. No disrespect to Sony Michel.
But instead, I'll give Bill a lot of love for this one, too. He brought one of my absolute all-time favorite football players to Foxborough, Rex Burkhead. And don't forget, Rex Burkhead, who I used to describe his running style as running out of a building that was on fire.
I liked his style, man.
He was awesome. He was also great in many of those games.
Got hurt
that
too
year.
Much.
He did. And in 2018, that AFC Championship against the Chiefs, he, of course, scored right behind David Andrews, the game-winning touchdown. So no texters. We're not going to go back. We're not going to go back, and we're not going to give a lot of business to freaking Bill Belichick people. Just calm down, relax. However,
Bill Belichick has done it again.
Stiz has his Patriot
pants
all up in a bunch.
I can't wait to read. I might slam through it tonight.
Keep your pants.
One sitting.
He's all excited. You can read? So everyone's all upset. Here we go. Now you guys are going to make fun of Belichick and you're going to criticize him. No. However, when you look at the 2018 draft and you see all these other names that were like, okay, so the Patriots took, I'm sorry, I'm just going to do it. Isaiah Wynn was taken 23rd overall. Would you have taken DJ Moore? Think he could have been any good? Think he would have maybe benefited Tom Brady or his career?
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay. Calvin Ridley, never heard of him. Lamar Jackson as well. So many starters in this draft. Oh, my gosh, look who that is. Shaquille Leonard was after him as well. And look, Nick Chubb. How about that? A couple players later.
Good player.
Not bad, right?
Not bad at all.
Yeah,
could have helped you.
Lamar Jackson. I believe Baltimore traded back up into the end of the first round to take him 32nd overall. And, of course, he took over for Joe Flacco at the end of that season, lost his first playoff game in January of 2019, and then the next year led the Ravens to the top overall seed. Of course, they were beaten by the Titans, who had just beaten the Patriots in the playoffs. There's no denying what a talent he was. Go ahead, please.
Let me ask you guys a question. How do you encapsulate Lamar Jackson's career so far? Do you think
awesome? I don't think it's a letdown by any stretch.
Never won a Super Bowl.
He has not. He has the talent to do so. It is amazing how sometimes things happen to him in the playoffs. Like, he threw so few interceptions this past year, and yet was so turnover prone against Buffalo, and also Mark Andrews with the 2-point drop of the century. I mean, like, Mark Andrews catches that 99 out of 100 times. It just happened to be the one time he dropped it was against the Bills in the playoffs. Weird things happen. The play calling of Todd Monken should be taught to kids on how not to call a big-time playoff football game in the previous AFC Championship against the Chiefs, because they were a running team and they went pass-heavy the whole game and they didn't have the weapons. And, of course, Zay Flowers fumbled on the goal line. So, like, weird things happen to Lamar Jackson. But to me, one word to describe his career to date, awesome.
Okay, I disagree. It's hard to disagree with the drop pass at last year with Mark Andrews. But I just feel like time and time again in the playoffs, he comes up small. I just feel like there's just too many games in the past to kind of to look at it and go, there's so many times he kills it in the regular season, and in the playoffs makes some bad mistake. Yeah, maybe some bad play calling by Todd Monken, but I also, he's the one throwing the football. And he's the one throwing the interceptions in some of these games in the playoffs. I just
put it right in Zay Flowers' hands, and then one fumble he has all year.
8 years. He's been in the league 8 years, and does he even have a Super Bowl appearance?
No, he does not.
Not even made it to the Super Bowl in 8 years, and
let alone three rings.
And he's awesome. I don't know. I just think that's a wee bit too much for my liking, because I just think there's something, a mental block with him when the pressure is really on, that he has issues when it comes to kind of getting over the hump.
Before we go around the room with a sort of what if style question to wrap the segment, I believe we have a question from Dan Ball. Yes, Ballhawk.
No, just to throw into what Teddy's saying. To me, he's probably the best pure athlete that's playing quarterback right now, and you could argue maybe one of the best pure athletes that's played quarterback ever.
Yep.
And every single reason fits that you just mentioned, play calling, terrible drops, poorly timed, anything. That's all legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're looking at this thing since 2019, and every year we come away with a new reason/excuse. So
yeah.
at a certain point, you have to rise above that, and he just hasn't been able to do that. So incredible athlete, incredible performer, great stats, not a proven winner yet.
And I am the guy who said an MVP has to be the person who raises the play of the team in its entirety, which I believe he has, but he hasn't come through in the postseason. Real quick, we're wrapping the segment, but Ted, boys in the other room, Belichick drafts Lamar Jackson, 31st overall in 2018. What happens?
I don't think the Patriots win a Super Bowl. And I don't know.
So they could have had a competition in the future, but they and that could have sustained their success perhaps, but they don't win that Super Bowl.
Well, because the 2018 season, you remember, was not one of their better seasons. They didn't find their magic until the last couple games of the regular season.
Yes, sir.
And I just think there could have been something in there where Bill starts playing Lamar over Tom. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there's the same magic that they have at the end of that season and then go on that magical run in the playoffs that they would have had if Lamar Jackson was there and on the
pushing
roster.
Pushing Brady once again, possibly being utilized.
I don't know if pushing or just sabotaging or Bill kind of favorite putting him in over Tom. I'm not saying if you think the same dynamic would have happened with Lamar that happened with 4 years earlier with Jimmy G, I'm not so sure that's the case.
Dan, on behalf of the producers.
I'm not quite convinced that we'd be having the same conversation about Lamar as the kind of quarterback that he is. It's no disrespect to Bill or to Josh McDaniels. I'm sure they would have made him a very good player. I'm just not sure he's able to reach the same potential coming from 15 years where you're building behind a traditional pocket passer in Brady. So I don't know if it would have been quite as much of an issue as we're talking about now that he's been in another system.
Oh, man. You guys must have missed the entire 2020 season when they took the corpse of Cam Newton to 7-9 and were leading and had a chance to win a couple of other games as well. Imagine if that was Lamar Jackson and they weren't just punting because Brady had left town and they were surging towards a third leg of the dynasty. Y'all are nuts.
That's fair.
Hey, bro,
I would argue that Newton was a fully established and developed quarterback, and he was washed by that point. But I don't know. I would be curious to see how they would handle the development of a quarterback that could not be more different from what they had with Brady and with Garoppolo.
Cam Newton!
My guy. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. The Patriots Talk rolls on here with everything else on the sports buffet that is WEEI Afternoons. And when we come back, the pageantry, the pimento cheese, the leaderboard, and everything else that makes Ted Johnson so happy on the greatest golf weekend of the year. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, you guys know what that is, what that music means. Welcome in to WEEI Afternoons. Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy-Stevens. Got the Masters on right now, the second round of the Masters. I think it's time, Fitzy, for a little Masters update.
Mm.
I'm sure people are clamoring to hear what is going on.
I think they just like the music, honestly.
Well, the music doesn't stir the soul, then, I mean, I don't know. Are you human? Do you have a heartbeat?
Honestly,
Andy,
Ted, what is the...
Listening, bud?
What's the greater white noise? The Masters theme or people at a dinner party in Hingham?
This probably, I would say.
This is like, I could fall asleep to this every night. It's just so tranquil. It's so comforting.
Or Bob Ross painting.
That's a great call, Stiz.
Hey, so
my favorite is green noise. If you want to know what my favorite noise at night
green
to play,
noise?
Green noise on the Calm app.
What's green noise?
I guess I'll have to check it out. But right now, the leader in the clubhouse is the same guy who led after the first round yesterday. Justin Rose shot a little one under today. He is in the lead by one stroke over Bryson DeChambeau, who put in a nice little four under today. Bryson DeChambeau led everyone in driving a distance yesterday by 15 yards. He averaged 340 yards in his drive yesterday. Yep. Right now, the cut looks like it's going to be at +2. And if you know anything about the Masters and its traditions, you know that it's always, the cut is always, do you know what the cut is?
No, what's the cut going to be? About one under?
It's always 10 strokes behind whatever the leader is
10
at.
10 strokes, so that would be two over right
Correct.
Now because Justin Rose is in a, yes, he's yep. 8 under through 2.
So wow. There's 46 players currently at that have made the cuts so far. A couple notables.
Mm-hmm.
How about 67-year-old Freddie Couples is at a +2. He is looks like he is going to make the cut. Bernhard Langer is in. Freddie Couples, 65. Bernhard Langer, 67 years old. He is in at plus two, which is amazing. And which, real quick, I just got to tell one little quick story about the Masters. I was there in 1998.
Well, Masters TED Talk. Go ahead.
With my dad. Yeah. Got tickets. It was the year after Tiger blew the field away in 1997 when he won his first. But yes, in 1998, that year, Mark O'Meara won it with a birdie putt on 18. Mm-hmm. But what was cool that week was that old Jack Nicklaus, mm-hmm. who was 58 years old at the time, mm-hmm. was in contention, believe it or not. And he actually finished 40 to finish. He finished three strokes behind the winner of that tournament, Mark O'Meara. But I'll never forget.
I've heard the story.
Senior night, yeah. we were sitting on top. Yeah, you have. Mm-hmm. But not everyone has heard it. We're sitting on the top of the green on 7, and we were sitting next to these two sweet old ladies that have been mm-hmm. going to the Masters. They're from Augusta. They've been going to the Masters for 40 years, they said, and they had this huge leaderboard that we could see where we were sitting, and we heard this huge roar. Just kind of throughout the valley. It's a big valley where this Augusta sits.
I feel like the sound carries very well because it's so well landscaped.
It's incredible. Just huge roar you hear. These two sweet old ladies look over at my dad and I at the same time. They go, Jack just birdied. And sure enough, we look at the leaderboard and Jack Nicklaus had birdied the two holes before he got to us. They knew what roar was for Jack versus another golfer who got a birdie. Which was pretty pretty incredible. Yeah, but that year, Jack Nicklaus at the age of 67, just 12 years removed from winning his sixth and final Masters in 1986 when he shot a last round of 65 to win that, was in contention at that age, was pretty remarkable. But I could go on and on, I won't, but that is your Masters update for this year and for this show.
Guys, I'm almost sorry to say, or at least hesitant to say, that the Ted Johnson curse might be real because you mentioned Freddie Couples being two over. He just bogeyed a hole and now he's three over. He's in danger of missing the cut, Ted.
I just jinxed him.
You just jinxed him. Come on, Freddie. Green noise?
That's green noise.
If that doesn't just
this kind of rocks.
Put you to sleep.
I do ocean waves.
Well, have you seen the comp?
Yeah, but you
app.
Do them live from the Cape. That's different.
It hits different, bro.
Brag, bro.
Yeah, sick brag. Nice. Jack brag, bro.
The commercial for Calm app.
Mm-hmm.
It's they just play the white noise for 30 seconds. That's mm-hmm. literally the commercial.
That's all you
and
need.
You're just sitting there going, "Oh my god, I got to get that." So I downloaded the app, paid for it, and I listen to green noise every night I go to bed.
Do you know?
I got to have noise when I sleep. I cannot.
I thought green noise was just the sound of people talking on the side of a golf course.
It's not on this app. Different app.
I thought it was Celtics fans in the balcony swearing.
Do you guys see Rory McIlroy's daughter, Poppy, on Wednesday?
Yeah, that was cool.
Was that not the greatest thing you've seen?
Makes the putt. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Just taps it, and it just rolls down perfectly and goes in.
Tap it in.
And then Shane Lowry's daughter comes over and wants to celebrate, and Poppy got all shy. She didn't want any of the attention, so she runs right back over to him.
Because she didn't want to show things up too much for her dad, because she knows her dad is a head case, because he's two behind Justin Rose, and Rory wants to finally complete the career slam this weekend. And I know a lot of people would like to see him win. My pick was, I was telling you, Ted, before the show, DeChambeau, as I like to call him, because he's just been on. He's out in an absolute heater these days. Fun fact, you know how long he uses the driver for?
What do you mean, how long?
He uses it for 3 weeks. Then he turns in his drivers. Why?
Oh, yes,
because
yes.
he hits them so hard that he deadens his driver within a month.
Okay, I haven't heard that. I've heard that he's trying a bunch of different drivers. Now I know why.
Yes, Stanley.
Did you guys see the guy that shot and his ball hit the guy with the flag and it like bounced off the guy?
Yes.
Max Homa. Yeah.
Yeah. What? And wait,
that
was
insane.
You didn't see this, Ted? So Max Homa is trying to chip up onto a green. And I think it was, now he wasn't a caddy. He was like one of the,
stewards, the volunteer.
Why is
guys.
He holding a flag though?
It's a fantastic question. All that I saw online was he was not where he was supposed to be.
And then you heard Max Homa go like, "Come on!"
He's like, "Come on, guy."
I wonder what the rule is. I wonder what the rule is for that.
I don't know exactly. Like, was he like letting him know like there's an active, there's a player on the green or like hold up or something? I don't know. Whatever it was, but like it killed his shot. His chip was headed right smack onto the green, and then it hits you know, the attendant, the steward in the derriere.
The guy must have just been a little out of sorts because he got hit, looked down, saw the ball, took like a step 2 feet over, and then just stood in that exact same spot afterwards.
Not like a, sorry, my bad.
That's right. Just say, hey, it's over here now, guys. It's over here. Yeah,
apologies,
we know.
Sir.
We know, pal.
617-779-7937. There is your Masters Minute from Ted Johnson. Of course, Justin Rose in the lead. DeChambeau nipping at his heels and Rory not too far off as well. Oh, a lot of good golf. A lot of golf to be watched tomorrow during the washout of Saturday. And, of course, one of the best naps of the year, Sunday, when you say, I'm going to watch till the end, and you fall asleep as they're rounding 13. When we come back, 5 o'clock hour, we'll reset things. Sox with a big win yesterday. Walker Buehler, start of the season. Celtics, meaningless games against the Hornets, getting ready for the playoffs. Bill Belichick with a book. He said nothing about Robert Kraft. And, of course, supersize odds and ends, putting everything together that we didn't get to all week long here with Fitzy and Ted and everyone else and you on WEEI Afternoons.